Parker came to the Laura Street Presbyterian Church Youth Center one summer day in 1960 and asked to participate in the Jacksonville Youth Council lunch counter demonstrations. He had read about the demonstrations in a Tallahassee paper, he said, and wanted to aid the cause. Richard Parker, a college student at Florida State University, happened to be the first white person who asked to join the sit-in demonstrations in Jacksonville. Those sit-in demonstrations raised the consciousness of the nation about the evils of racism and discrimination. National NAACP headquarters cautioned NAACP youth councils and college chapters about would-be demonstrators about whom we knew very little. FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover certainly wanted to tag the NAACP as subversive, communist, or worse. For those reasons, we were leery of Parker at first. We were all mindful and fearful that someone would come to undermine the sit-ins. Many whites and the national press in this country felt that direct action activities such as sit-in demonstrations would undermine the country and label them as communist-inspired or subversive or both. Racists already had a clear view of the NAACP. With that backdrop, the NAACP used tremendous caution to ensure no one joined the organization or participated in direct action demonstrations without some preliminary checking. After talking with Parker and doing what we considered a diligent background check, we were convinced that he was not a communist and legitimately wanted to participate in the sit-ins. Richard Parker was 25 years old, a native of Massachusetts, and a junior at Florida State University. On his very first day, sitting in at the Woolworth lunch counter, whites and the media assumed he was the leader of the sit-ins. The crowd of onlookers showered him with the standard nigger lover and race mixer name. On Thursday, August 25th, 1960, Mr. Pearson received an anonymous call warning that something would happen to Parker if he continued to participate. I say anonymous because Mr. Pearson never told me who called. That was fine. But in this instance, I did not have a need to know. After we arrived at Woolworth and made our customary purchases at another counter, we proceeded to the lunch counter and sat down. A short time later, a parade of white construction workers walked into the store and stood behind us. Several carried construction-type ropes and large construction tools. They were not there to shop or for takeouts. Well, not for food anyway. They stood close to the seat where Parker sat, three seats away from me. They did not say a word. They did not have to, they just stood. I don't recall at any time during the Woolworth sit-in demonstrations seeing police from the city of Jacksonville's police department or patrol officers from the Duval County Sheriff's Department. Despite the constant potential for racial confrontation and with law enforcement officers penchant for undercover intelligence during that era, the Jacksonville Police Department and the Duval County Sheriff's Office were invisible. Because of the absence of law enforcement protection, adults from the NAACP always monitored the sit-ins. We called them trouble spotters. We did not have to signal them or say anything. They recognized threats. When the racial epithet spewing crowd began to gather alongside the construction workers, our trouble spotters got in touch with the NAACP office. They knew someone had to do something. Several members of the Boomerangs walked single file into Woolworth in a very matter-of-fact fashion and came to the white lunch counter where Parker sat. The Boomerangs made their way through the crowd of hate mongers and construction workers and immediately stood behind Parker. We told Parker to go with them, but he insisted he did not want to go. Several of the Boomerangs physically picked him up off the lunch counter seat and eventually persuaded him. They then formed a circle around him and walked him out of Woolworth onto Hogan Street and away from the store. As they walked Parker away from danger, many in the Woolworth's crowd of whites followed. The Boomerangs walked Parker down Hogan Street, turning left on Ashley Street. The crowd continued to follow. When the Boomerangs and Parker got to Clay Street and Ashley Street, which is one block from Broad and Ashley, they sent Parker on with a couple of Boomerang members and then turned to invite the crowd to continue. The crowd stopped and turned back. The Boomerangs then walked Parker to the Laura Street Presbyterian Church Youth Center. When we later met with Parker, we agreed he would not sit in for a while. It would be an interesting period before we saw Parker again.